It is good to be with all of you this morning. We have people in person, we have people online, we have people who are going to be checking this out in the days to come via podcast, and it is awesome to be with all of you. It matters that you are here, so I just have to say welcome back, church. Yeah, all right. It's good to be with you. If you missed either of the last 2 weeks that are tied to this sermon series, you can find those online. We have the audio available through our website, or you can always get it in our app. And if you don't have the app, I know it was mentioned earlier, but you can find that at the bottom of our website, newlifea2.org. Scroll to the bottom, and you're going to find it. And I'm really excited about this series and excited about where we are today and what we're going to be looking at. I actually believe where we're going today and what we're going to hear Jesus speak about and what we're going to lean into is actually what I think we need in this season more than anything else, more than anything else. And so I just want to pause right here, and I'm going to pray for our time, whether you're present or you're listening online or listening some other day on a podcast, just for you to take in and receive what it is the Lord has for us today. So let me pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word that you gave on the plain and on the mountain. Lord, I thank you for the fact that we have that word here today and that we could lean in and listen to that. More than that, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, that your Spirit is with us, that you haven't left us abandoned, but you left and said it would be better because I'm giving you my Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be attentive to your Spirit in this moment, that we would listen for your voice and we would hear what it is you have to say to each and every one of us. However different that may be, Lord, and I pray that you would draw us to yourself as a result of today. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Our current series, The Mountain and the Plain, because we call it that because it refers to two messages that Jesus gave. One was on the mountain, the Sermon on the Mount, and the other was on a plain in Luke chapter 6. The Sermon on the Mount was recorded in Matthew, and the Sermon on the Plain was recorded in Luke. And in both of these messages, Jesus is shedding greater light on the nature of the Father's kingdom. It's a different kingdom than the kingdoms of this world. In fact, it's a kingdom that lives in the disciples, in his followers, even though and even as they live in the broken kingdoms of this world. And using Luke chapter 6 as a frame for this series, we've been walking through just a few statements by Jesus that we collectively call the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes, the name comes from the Latin origin, which means joy or happy and blessed. And so it's as if these sayings, Jesus is calling not just blessed, but you're happy when he is speaking these. And so without further ado, we're gonna lean into one of Jesus's statements today. And so you remember, on the plain, he is surrounded by crowds of people who have come from distant lands and gathered to hear his message and to be with him and to receive healing from Jesus. And in the midst of this, Jesus turns and says, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." I want us just to sit in this for a minute. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. The word blessed here means a state or condition of joy and happiness. So Jesus is essentially saying, happy are you who hunger right now, for you will be satisfied. How many of you have ever hungered? Like really hungered? Perhaps you have fasted and intentionally abstained from food and felt hunger. Or perhaps there was a season of your life where you grew up in a financially tight situation, either as a kid or as an adult, and you experienced true hunger. Maybe you've even been in a situation, a survival situation, where you didn't have enough food and you felt hunger. There's pain. There's a longing. There's a consuming of our mind even as we are hungry. There's fatigue and weakness that is experienced because of the lack of nourishment. And sometimes dizziness and or disorientation can set in. And eventually, if the hunger persists long enough, your body starts feeding on itself to get the nutrients it needs. And if that persists long enough, your body will shut down and there's death. It's an awful place to be. truly hungry, truly in need and want of food. It can be a frustrating, hard place to be, stuck with a craving but without the ability to get what you need, what you long for, what your body craves. And regarding this condition, Jesus says, "Happy are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." Satisfied. That's an encouraging word. It's encouraging to hear that you'll be satisfied. It's even more encouraging to witness it, to see satisfaction in the life of someone else. And I have a short video for you here. It's from a television show called Alone, where 10 participants are taken and placed in the woods, and it's a competition to see who can last the longest. The only criteria is you have to survive off the land and get your own stuff and just make it, and you just don't pick up the satellite phone and tap out and say, "I can't take it anymore," or you're not medically removed. And so the last person standing who out-survives the rest alone wins. And this clip that I'm going to show you is the first meal each contestant received in the field when their journey came to an end. And so I want you to keep in mind the words of Jesus, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied," as you watch this video.
Wow. I can't believe
you did it.
Oh, I'm so happy to see you. Oh my gosh. All right, who has food? Who has stinking food? Which one of you guys brought food with you?
I've been wanting soup for months.
Even before you came out?
Before I came out. I love soup.
Oh, thank you. Bless you, Dave.
What kind of broth is it? Chicken.
This is the best thing since day one, right now.
It smells so good.
Oh my gosh, it smells amazing.
Yeah, what we're doing.
Oh my gosh.
I'll let you enjoy that.
That's real good.
28 days without flavor.
Oh, fat.
Oh. Feel a little bit more human with each bite.
Good stuff, man.
You know how much you miss, like, the spices when you're out here? Like, just flavors of the world?
Could use pepper, if there was some pepper, maybe.
Oh, a banana. I dreamt about a banana.
You have all kinds of goodies. It's like the magic bag.
Oh, almonds, you know?
Electrolytes.
I feel almost delirious because it's so good.
Oh, heck yeah. The world has come to life. In a sip and a handful.
I love that. Something as simple as a cup of soup, and to see their satisfaction, to see their joy at what they received, a delight that they were having. And that just put a smile on your face as you watched their reactions to a simple cup of soup, a banana, some almonds. And I love some of these quotes. Listen to this. It said, "You have all kinds of goodies. It's like the magic bag. The world has come to life in a sip and a handful. I feel a little bit more human with each bite." To have your hunger filled, to be satisfied and filled, it is nothing short of joy and happiness. It's fun to see people's reactions like that, but there's also something else that's super important to catch in that video. And that is that, and this is where it's going to go a little bit deeper for us, is that someone else came to them to satisfy their hunger and fill them up. Keep that in mind as we go from hearing what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Plain, as we go now and look at the parallel verse at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Jesus says there, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Righteousness. Righteousness is about right relationship between people. And it has two axes, an orientation towards God and towards one another. It's about a right relationship that we have between us and God and a right relationship we have with those around us. And this is where the greatest commandment comes into this, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. It's about right relationship with God and right relationship with others. And as Jesus says this, he's saying, happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness now, which speaks to those who are lacking it, who don't see it, who don't have it, which is why you hunger and thirst for it. And so in essence, Jesus is saying, happy are you when you look out and you see wrecked relationships in the world, a lack of righteousness, a lack of people doing right by each other. When you see this, it bothers you. It irritates you. It doesn't sit well with you, and you're not content with how the world is. Happy are you because you hunger. You actually see it. Or perhaps it's not even an unrighteousness outside yourself. Perhaps it's in here. It's me. Happy are you when you hunger to be more righteous yourself. You have that addictive behavior or impulse to do wrong, and you're tired of giving in and doing what you don't want to do. Happy are you when you are tired of hurting yourself or other people. You hunger to be different, to be more righteous in your own life. Happy are you because you thirst and you see it. You see the need. And Jesus says, you who notice the lack of righteousness in the world and in your own life, and who hunger and thirst for it to be different, happy are you, for you will be satisfied. And then Jesus contrasts all this by adding to it on the plain, woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who are well fed now. Woe to you who do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. Woe to you who are content with the way the world is. You who look out and say, it's not so bad. Who look inside and think, I've got this. I know what I'm doing. I'll be all right on my own. Woe to you who sees the ways of this world as right and best and believes in your own right living. For you will go hungry. There will come a point where you stand before God and you realize how unrighteous you are and how unrighteous the ways of this world are. In comparison to God, we fall woefully short. And Jesus said another time that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees or the teachers of a religious law, that you would neither enter, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And as I thought about that, I thought about a race, and I thought, that's like saying, if you're not faster than Usain Bolt, you can't run in this race. He's the fastest man on earth. I mean, that's like no human gets to enter the race. And as I was picturing that, I felt like the Lord said, no, it's more like no one gets to enter ever. Everyone falls short. They will be found wanting, and they will be hungry on their own. If you think you've got this on your own, you are sorely mistaken. Our righteousness falls so short. And yet Jesus says, happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness now, because you will be filled. The question is, how? How will we be satisfied? How much more when we are hungry for righteousness are we unable to satisfy ourselves? We can't. You can't. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy you. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy you, your hunger and your thirst for righteousness. Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven in order to come and rescue us. Jesus came and lived a complete life from birth to death in perfect righteousness. There is no one like Jesus. Only his righteous life surpasses that of the Pharisees or the teachers of religious law. Only his righteous life can be sacrificed on the cross in place of our unrighteous life. Only his righteous life can pay the price that our sins deserve. Only his righteous life could go into the grave that we deserve and then rise again, defeating the grip of death and coming back to life for us. Happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness now, because Jesus can satisfy you. Jesus can satisfy you. In this global pandemic, what I've come to call God's pause for us all, God is still in charge of everything. I believe God is stirring a hunger in all of humanity. We are seeing how broken and wrong and upside down our culture and society is, how people live in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. And I believe the Lord is also showing us how many of the things we've been filling ourselves with fall woefully short and can't fill us up. Tasty treats that may feel experientially satisfying in the moment, but ultimately are lacking of any lasting value or righteous satisfaction. We have endless streams of entertainment, information binging, indulgent luxuries, device distractions, worldly possessions, accomplishments and awards, carnal cravings and mind-numbing devices, pursuits of perfection in appearance or behavior, living without limits, the tasty treats available to us in our modern Western American culture are abundant and plentiful, and they are lacking. They are lacking. And my prayer for you, church, and the Church of America, is that you would recognize how unsatisfying these lesser alternatives are, and that you would come to connect with your deeper hunger and your thirst for God's righteousness, both in the world and in your own life. I pray that your hunger for God would grow like never before. I pray that you would be like the psalmist who cries out, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. I pray that you would long for God's presence in your life like you never have before. That you would just want to be in his presence, because nothing else satisfies. Nothing else brings you the hope. Nothing else is giving you peace. Because I pray that as you turn to all those other things, it would be like drinking rotten, curdled chocolate milk. It looks so good until you taste it. That you would turn and you would find it would be dried up, moldy, stale bread, hard and crunchy and nasty mold on it as you look out. And you'd realize, this is not satisfying. Jesus, I just need you. I just need your presence, God. I want more of you. The author, pastor, many people called prophetic in his time, A.W. Tozer, he has a quote that says, "The world is perishing for a lack of the knowledge of God, and the church is famishing for his presence." The church is famishing for want of his presence. Do you feel that? And what strikes me about that thought is that we have a choice each and every day to pursue the presence of God in our life. And I pray that you would hunger for his presence, that you would turn to receive from him what only he can give you. We all have so many needs just in this church alone. So many deep pains and hurts and doubts and fears and wonders. We look at the fall and so much is chaos and unknown. We need Jesus. We need his presence. His presence is what makes the difference. You need hope, you go to Jesus. You need peace, you go to Jesus. Direction, discernment, clarity, confidence, courage, Jesus. You need patience, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit on the home front, Jesus. You need his presence. We need his presence every single day when you're making the 10,000th meal for your kids who are clawing at your ankles, or making your head pop because they're fighting again. You feel like you're failing as a parent. You need Jesus when you're redoing that draft of policy again for the 10th time this month about how are we possibly going to meet as a company. When you're thinking ahead to September and going, I don't know how we're going to make it there, let alone December. We need God's presence more than ever. And if you look at Jesus, take the example from him who walked a perfectly righteous life on this earth. He continually pulled away from his disciples and from the crowds just to be with his Father, just to be in the presence of God. And we don't know what all those times looked like. We don't know what he got, but I guarantee he got all that he needed in the presence of the Father. He got the strength he needed, the courage, the confidence, the direction to keep going. My wife left town for what I thought was going to be a day, ended up being an overnight this week, and as she got ready to leave town for the overnight, she looked at me, and what a wise woman of God. She knows her husband. She says, hey, Jay, when I go, I don't want you to work. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I can do that. I won't work at all. I'll just work on the house. How about that? And she's like, no, like no work. Like don't do any. I think you just need some time for you and yourself, which I'm horrible at self-care, people who know me. And I look at that, I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? I got excited thinking about, I have time. Like this was the first almost 24-hour period alone in my house since March. Come on, you all know what I'm talking about. It was amazing. And the moment work ended and I got to turn to that, I was like, all right, me time is actually just me and Jesus time. That's how I look at it. I was like, presence of God, awesome. What are we doing? I went for a run. I read a book. I got in the Word, watched a movie, had good food. I mean, I hung out with Jesus. And by the second day around noon, I'm sitting there so filled up. I'm going, why don't we do this more often? This is crazy. I just spent time with Jesus. And I'm overfilling like I haven't felt in months. And Jesus is just like, yeah, it's a thing called the Sabbath. I made that. It's a gift to you. And I'm just like, I'm so dumb. I just need to be with Jesus. And I'm telling you, as I tasted that, I want more of that. And my prayer for you is that this week, maybe even today, you would just carve out a little space to get alone with Jesus, to get alone with the presence of God, not to talk, not to say anything, not to ask for anything, just to be with him. Recognize that he delights in you. And some of you all are afraid to go there because you don't think he delights in you. You're looking at what you did yesterday or last month or last week or 10 years ago. It's garbage. You go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm at the end of my rope. I need you. Will you forgive me for all this? He'll be like, yes, I forgive you. Of course I do. Now come here, son. Come here, daughter. And let him speak to you. Let him just be with you. And that may seem odd and weird, I know, but I'm telling you, that is what we need in this season more than anything else. We need the men and women of God of all ages just to sit with Jesus, to receive from Jesus what we need for today. That's what we need. And I want to close our time by having you think back to that short video clip that I shared with you earlier, where someone else came to them in order to satisfy their hunger and fill them up. I want to share the quotes with you again, and I want you to see how they land with the parallel of our spiritual hunger and Jesus who satisfies. Think about that. The first said, you have all kinds of goodies. It's like a magic bag. The second one, the world has come to life in a sip and a handful. It says, I feel a little bit more human with each bite. People, Jesus has all kinds of goodies, more than you can possibly imagine, and they are so satisfying. Go to him. Be with him. The world comes to life. Hope is awakened, and joy bubbles up with every little sip and handful of Jesus. Will you just taste and see that he is good? whether for the first time or the thousandth time, hundredth time, whatever, taste and see that he is good. And we feel a little bit more human with each bite. I pray you experience that. Let me pray. Jesus, I thank you for being with us. Lord, I thank you that you are the bread of life, that you came down from heaven so that we could be filled. Jesus, you alone can satisfy our true hunger and our thirst for righteousness. Lord, I pray that we would connect with our inner hunger, our inner thirst, that we would go past the surface levels of stress, the patterns, the things that we turn to try to fill up, we would find them wanting and lacking. And Lord, that we would turn and just acknowledge our desire for you and your presence. Lord, that we would connect with you. Whether it's in the workday, and we just acknowledge your presence of being with us, whether it's on the home front, or school, or academics, whatever it is, Lord, even if it's in a spot we can pull away and actually commit time to pursuing you. Lord, I pray that we would find you, we would experience you, and it would be like streams of refreshing water welling up within us, that it would be renewing, life-giving bread that we experience from you, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we engage with you and we're satisfied. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.